Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I'm the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and a producer of A Star is Born talent events. My motto is standing firm on the promises of God. I want to thank everybody for tuning back in to Talk to Me Radio. We have been on the air for almost 8 years come next month, April 23rd. Well, this is my birthday show. We are celebrating my birthday on this week. My birthday is the 28th. I thank God that I am alive and able to see another year going by, no matter how tough and how rough it has been. There has been many, many blessings that I can that I can just recall throughout the whole past year that God stepped in when I thought it was no hope or when I was down, and he just turned things around. And I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on, and I'm still moving forward. This show is, do black men have a problem with being the provider? I'm asking the question. And these topics, I just, you know, sometimes the Lord will work in my spirit, or I'll piggyback off of a conversation that was had in previously. And with our last show, we had some technical difficulties. I had to start the show about 20 minutes late due to the service provider and the service not connecting with my particular computer laptop. So in any case, I did move on with the show, but I'm a perfectionist. I don't like nothing half done, so I just said, let me just get rid of this whole show right here, and that's what I did. But Brian's fiance and I had a long conversation afterwards, and I just thought it was good for her to come on and to share her thoughts as a educated, professional black woman who could shed some light on some of the issues that we have been discussing. And not all these issues are my issues, or these are things that maybe I'm curious about, or other people I know, or the question just needs to be asked, and not necessarily with my personal life, because as you know, I am truly single. I'm 1,000,000% single, right, Maury? But in any case, we're going to be having her on, and then we're going to be having an old friend. He planted the seed for this particular radio ministry to even begin. And so he was one of the people that started, you know, put that seed in me and said, you know what, you got a great voice, you should do this, Cherie. And a couple of my other friends who do radio encourage that. Cocoa watered the seeds. Savannah helped me push that gift out on her TV show and just encouraging me and building me up to be able to have the nerve to even do it. So in any case, the question again is, do black men have a problem with being the provider? What do you think? In your life, what have you seen? What have you witnessed? What do you take from the question? Do you believe that this to be true, or do you disagree with it? And we're going to be finding that out. But you know, I got to start with some scriptures as a base for this particular show, because it is faith based. Even though I play some of the R&B music that we like to hear sometimes. Ephesians 5:25-33. It says, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without a spot or a wrinkle or any other blemish. Then she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united in one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." And this is why it is so important, and I did mention it in one of my previous shows. I know we've talked about dreams coming true, and we've talked about love, and we talked about loving ourselves. Because if you love your wife as Christ loved the church, and you love her as your own body, but you got to love your own body. In a sense, you got to love yourself in order to give out love. And to give out the proper love or healthy love, because whatever you're dealing with is going to exude, it's going to come out. It's going to come out whether it's good or whether it's bad. And so that I do know from experience. And like I said before, you know, no one is perfect, and we're all here as a learning experience. Just to be open-minded and to listen to what other people have to say doesn't mean that we have to agree with them. And so that's what this is about. And I'm going to move on to the next scripture, and that is coming from 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And I got this out of New Living Translation. It's talking about the role of the husband in the Bible, being the provider and being the protector, and the head of his household and the leader. It's not to say that women are not leaders. It's not to say that women have not protected their families or have been providers, because we know that they have. But we're talking about, biblically speaking, and the foundation of how it was meant to be. And so that's where we're going over now. Colossians 3:19 says, "Husband, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them." 1 Peter 3:7, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." And so in that said, you know, is you can get what you want. I have my own opinion. You don't have to agree. But to me, that is just basically saying the husband by nature He has a physical nature, a strength that God gave to him that he did not give to most women, to be there, to be the protector, to be the provider and the spiritual head of his house. This does not endorse putting someone down. This does not endorse treating your wife with no respect, dishonoring her, abusing her physically, emotionally, financially, verbally, or any other way. That is not love. And I'm sure that Christ is definitely not talking about that. And he's not talking about those who may be living with someone and you're not married yet. I mean, it is what it is. He's talking about husbands and wives. He's talking about once you've made that commitment and you've agreed, you become one, you sign that paper, and boom, it's a done deal. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about people that are pretending that they are married and living together in any situation, because regardless of the fact, you still ain't married. So we're talking about that. So we're talking about those who are trying their best to do it decent and in order and by the Christian standard. So you can be mad at me or not be mad at me. It is what it is in the Bible. All right, let's move on. I do want everybody to know to please purchase my paperbacks. I have 12 paperbacks. My newest book is Jesus Had No Home, Neither Did I. Please, if you want to get your ticket for A Star Is Born 9 on time, ahead of time, the information is up on the show page. The show page will be revised. You will have it, see it up by tomorrow, because I want to put some pictures up of Preacher, who is a.k.a. Elder Richards. I want to do that. But in the meantime, please go to my website, www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. The show will be July 14th, which is a Saturday. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Details and stuff like that, if you want to buy a ticket, please call me up. Contact me. There's several ways that you can get in contact with me. If you'd like to make a contribution, we need sponsors. We need sponsors. This is our ninth year doing this. I've had about 30 winners. I mean, little teeny children all the way up. And most of these children are grown now. So please, if you have it on your heart to want to give to an organization, we need it because, as you know, with giving any event, it does take money and expenses along with some prayer. So I'm stepping out on faith once again that it's going to be done. And I do want to plug in my first caller. I'm going to play a little bit of Single Life for about 30 seconds, and then I'm going to have my first caller on and share her thoughts. Okay, that was Cameo, Single Life. Most of you know that. I'm going to plug in Mrs. Kia Swin. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, dear. How are you?
I'm good. I'm blessed. That's all I can say. Every day, you know, he wakes us up, you know, that's another opportunity to get it right.
True.
Yes, yes. So tell us, Kia, who you are. We heard from Brian a couple of times. He's been on my radio show, and, you know, that's your fiance. Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Oh, well, I am a, first and foremost, a strong black woman. I work for a major insurance company, been there for over 20 years. I am a mother of three, and I volunteer my services and my time with an organization called GAP, Grandest Parents, where we teach young ladies how to be respectable young ladies throughout childhood, puberty, and adulthood.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is so wonderful. We're on the subject because me and you talked for about an hour or more after the last broadcast, and I was so annoyed because the show started late, and, you know, it was just irking at me because the server wasn't working. But we talked a while, and we touched on so many things.
Right.
In regards to being single, in regards to being married, and what are people choosing today and why. But just to go back, just to recap, what are your thoughts about that as far as being single and being married? Because you are engaged to Brian, so, you know, you're about to leave singlehood.
Right. Well, my thoughts are, when you are single, you're single for a reason. Some people say, well, I'm single because I haven't found the right man or the right woman. No, 9 times out of 10, you're single because there's something within you that's not right, that you're still working on. So single to me is almost like a mindset, but when you find that person who is compatible with you, and let me say that you take the time to know the person, not meet them on Monday, do things on Tuesday, move in on Wednesday, you're pregnant by Thursday, you break up by Friday, and then you sit there and say, oh, well, I didn't know it was going to happen. Well, it's going to happen if you don't take the time to get to know the person. So that takes time to build a friendship, to build trust, and everything else that goes along with it. Now, with marriage, my saying is, I am you, you are me, we are one. If that is not your philosophy for marriage, then don't get married. Because the two of you are going to become one at some point of where he feels it. I'm sorry, he thinks it, you feel it. You have to be his rock just like he has to be your rock. You can't beat him up verbally, emasculate his manhood, and he can't beat you up emasculating your womanhood. You have to be one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, basically what you said, I created an app, and this app is called Check'em. It is to prevent getting into the wrong relationship or wasting your time years and years out. Some people are getting, they're tying the knot so quickly without really getting to know the person. And, you know, I see so many unhappy married people that don't want to be married. They want to be out of their marriage. And something is not right with that.
True.
If you have made that vow and then you 5, 6 years ago, I didn't know this. Well, obviously you didn't ask the questions you needed to ask before you tied that knot. And
exactly.
So this app is to prevent that. So, and then when you do get into it, I find that we talked about this, educated black women and how so it seems like the man, the black man, is intimidated by a strong black woman, especially being independent and strong-willed and knows what she wants. So my question is, do black men have a problem with being the provider?
I don't think a black man has a problem with being a provider because with anything, it goes back to childhood. If a young boy is not taught by his father, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, a male figure, how to become that strong black man, that leader of your household, how was he going to know? Is that tying your shoes?
Right.
If no one takes the time to teach you, how are you going to know?
Right.
And
absolutely,
you're not going to know. So it's one of those things of it being that there are some men who are intimidated by a strong woman, but I have to put the women on check as well. There are some women who walk around and they wear it like it's a badge of honor, and they put down and belittle and degrade a man.
Mm-hmm.
If you know who
then
you
I
are,
think that's that.
You don't have to walk
yeah.
around and just say, da, 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 da. You know who you are. You are strong within
exactly.
yourself for a man or for a woman. But you can't
right.
get mad if he's turned off by you because you're giving off this holier than thou, I am better than you are
air.
Mentality. Right.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, somebody had told me, one of my friends who's a realtor in Atlanta, the ratio to black women and men in Atlanta is 25 to 1. There are
mm-hmm.
women who are accepting the fact of being second, the, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether educated or not, they're accepting it blatantly out there. And the men know they have a certain, like what you just said about the woman, it can go both ways. You know
mm-hmm.
that they're, you know, as far as a black man being educated, being strong, having that, you know, type of credentials or whatever he might have, or even if he doesn't have that, just knowing and being confident in himself that, hey, I could choose whatever I want. I could act any way
right.
I want to, because there's so many more options for me than it is for a woman. And we know
right.
that. That's
right.
a fact in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So
but
how
the thing
do you
of it
feel?
Too, mm-hmm.
No, go ahead, babe. Go ahead.
No, it's a thing of it being too, women have to learn not to settle. I just had a conversation with a woman a couple of weeks ago, and I said to her, I would rather have a man than a piece of a man. And then she says to me, well, I would rather have a piece of a man because I at least have one. I said, so you would rather have the aggravation, the non-trust, than happiness and peace. Well, if that's what I have to have a man, then so be it. I said, then you know what? You are not living. You are just existing because you're not living.
Wow.
And I said, and if that's your mentality, you know, I can't knock you for that. That's how you think. But it's a thing of it being too. And like I said to her, we as women, we have a perception of what we think a man's going to be.
Right.
We, as a woman, do not have the right to say, you're not a man. No, just
mm-hmm.
like a man does not have the right to say, well, you're not a woman. No, that is our
mm-hmm.
perception. And we're just saying this because this person, man or woman, is not living up to the idolized image that we have in our head. Now, that's not to say that he's not a good man or a good woman. He could be a good man or she could be a good woman, but for whatever reason, they're not living up to our expectations. Perfect
exactly.
fault, that's our fault. And we're shooting ourselves in the foot because everybody's different.
Right.
And if you don't ask
right.
these questions in the beginning, questions like, oh, okay, tell me, what kind of relationship did you and your father have? How did your father
Thank
teach
you.
Your mother? You know, you have
yes.
to ask these questions so that way you know what you're getting into.
Absolutely.
And if you don't ask these questions, you're not, you know, you're going to find out the answers the hard way.
Yes.
Well, and then, you know, you ask these questions. Well, what's the most important thing that your father taught you? Or if your father passed away or wasn't there and then say there was somebody else, what's the most important thing that this person taught you? This is giving you an insight into the person that you're getting ready to deal with. But if you don't ask
right.
these questions, you're going to be bamboozled.
Exactly. And I just was explaining this to someone that I know, which is why I created the app Check 'Em. For teens and for young adults, so that they can have a guideline and a map. Because there are many people, especially in our community, that have not been taught. Whether it's their biological mom or father, they have not been taught. You have a lot of young mothers, especially you have a lot of young grandmothers and grandfathers.
Right.
So they like I said, they're skipping over courting. They're going straight from I like you to you my wifey and you my husband.
Right.
Like, really?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing that I taught my daughters. Okay, you can go on dates. But see, here's the rule. He has to come here to pick you up. I have to see him. If he can't come here, then you don't need to date him. And then I set up guidelines when it comes to my kids, because I have a son who's 24 years old. My oldest daughter is 27, and my youngest is 17. There's guidelines. Me as the example, I don't tell. I can't sit there and tell my son, don't walk around with your pants hanging down, with your underwear showing. Don't walk around calling a woman out of her name and being disrespectful and hitting on a woman if I'm doing it. I have to set that example. No, I'm not bringing this man home to you. No, you're not going to. Oh, you got your pants hanging out here behind? No, you cannot meet my kids because you're contradicting what I'm teaching my kids.
Yes.
So, no. Sorry. You could be the nicest person in the world, but I'm sorry. No.
Right. And there has to be that. There has to be somebody to put their foot down, because that's what the child needs to learn. They learn from the adult that they are around. If you're acting crazy, you're drugging, drinking, anything goes, anything can be said around these children or around in the household, and anybody can do whatever they want, then what do you expect the kids to do when they leave the house? They're going to be the same way. And then they're going to grow up treating, when they begin the date, they're going to do what they saw.
Exactly. And they're going to perpetuate a vicious cycle, and it's all of a horrible pathology.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing. You said ask questions. I have 80 questions in this app, stemming from family to criminal background, sexual history, and you family history, you name it, is on here to ask those questions. What other questions do you think, Kia, that should be posed in grooming a young boy to be the provider or to be the head in our community?
Well, as a single mother of a young man, it was hard for me to understand the mindset pubescent young man, because I'm not a man. He goes through things differently than my daughters did and that I did. So on certain things, I couldn't relate. But I was fortunate that I had my father, my godfathers, uncles, cousins that stepped in to help me for things that I didn't understand. But most importantly, I wasn't that woman that said, oh, well, you can't tell me how to raise my child, blah, 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 blah. No, I need help. And I'm coming to you with me trusting you with my child to guide my child on aspects of where I can take him to a certain point, but I can't take him past that point.
Right.
And the one thing that I always tell my son, listen, listen to a woman. A woman's going to tell you everything that you need to know. You have to listen. And what you don't know, ask. Because there is no question that is off limits, that's disrespectful. Of course, it depends upon how you're talking to, how you present that question. But if you want to get to know somebody, you need to ask questions. And it's not this thing of it being, oh, well, I'm going to text you. Well, see, you keep on texting, communicating, because your text messages are going to come off wrong. So with texting and all the other stuff, you're killing communication. You're killing to get to know somebody, to hear what they have to say. Because texting, you can hide behind it. You can mask it.
Right.
But when you communicate, you can't mask it. Boom, it's right there.
Absolutely. I want to see your eyes. I want to see your body mannerisms.
Exactly.
Because I'm going to pick up my spirit of discernment. I'm going to pick up on what you really say, even if you ain't saying nothing.
Right.
And they don't. They need to learn that kind of stuff, body language. You know, you can't do that through no texting.
Nope.
You know, and
it's
so,
a shame.
Yes, exactly. And so being that I wrote a thesis, master's thesis, when I graduated from UB, Can a Sister Get Some Love? And I did research on the likelihood of an educated black woman over 40 and her chances of getting married to an educated black man without having to go outside of her race. And the percentage rate, the percentage was very, very slim, very slim. And this is factual according to that. God can do anything, but this was fact.
Right.
I was going based upon fact. Why do you think there's such a hard time for a woman over the age of 40? What do you think it is? Because there's a lot of us single out here.
Oh, right. I would say for a woman over 40, she probably has had her biggest heartbreak between her 20s and 30s. So by the time she gets to her 40s, certain things have set in her mindset of, well, I went out with this one, and I accepted him for who he was, but he didn't want what I wanted, blah, 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 blah. Well, see, my thing is, educated. You don't have to go to college or have a college degree to be, because you can
have
a college degree, but if you don't have common sense, you don't have nothing.
That's right.
So you can be educated of whether, you know, like for my situation, yes, I went to school, I graduated from college, okay, fine, cool. My fiance, high school graduate, okay. I have the book smarts, he has the street smarts. He gets his hustle and flow on his way, I get mine on in a different way. What's the difference? We still hustling and we still got the same flow. Do I look down on him because he didn't go to college or whatever the case may be? No. We put it together. Where he brings from what he knows, I bring from what I know, we bring it together.
Okay.
I don't put him down. He doesn't put me down, so forth and so forth. And that's the thing. You have to bring two different people from two different worlds who have been exposed and experienced two different things. You have to bring all of that together collectively to the same table of where you all the time hear, oh, well, I don't need a man. He has to have something to bring to the table. Well, I got my own this. I have my own that, blah, blah, blah. But wait a minute. I have my own this too. But the thing is, if I can bring the salad dressing, the bacon bits, the croutons and so forth and so forth, he can bring the lettuce. So that way we both eat. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it's like, okay, fine.
Yes.
If you bring a one thing, he brings something else, but you have to bring it to the table over it benefits the both of you. And if it doesn't benefit the both of you, get up and keep on stepping.
And exactly. And, you know, and like I said, everybody has a right to their opinion. And what I found in my research, well, there were so many different reasons according to that. If you were looking for someone who is basically on your level, and everybody has different preferences. I was talking to a young man who's almost 30. He's a black young man, went to the best schools, et cetera, et cetera. He told me he quit his girlfriend because she was not on the same level thinking-wise as him. Mentality-wise, her mind had not yet opened, but she had not had the privileges of being in the same type of settings as he has, and he believed it made a difference, and I agree with him, but that's his way of what he thought as a young black boy, but even still, I told him life experiences can teach you so much more. As a foundation, as of what you will need and to grasp from, there's certain things you cannot understand until you live a little bit longer. And what I found in the book, because of the incarceration rate men who had not been married, who had been married before, men who were living different sexual lifestyles. There were so many reasons as to why you had a lot of women over the age of 40 that were single, and there was only 2% left. And mm-hmm. it was just a sadness to me, because it just made me think, oh, well, do we all have to go outside of our race? And what if we don't want to? And so that's why I wrote the book and questioned that. But I thank you so much, Kia, for coming on. I have my caller that is on the line waiting patiently from Virginia, Maryland area. And I appreciate you taking the time out to share your thoughts and your feelings with everyone. And also, people who have young sons, listen to what Kia has said on this particular broadcast, and hopefully it will help you. Thank you so much, girl.
Thank you. You have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was Kia Swintz. Calling in from down south, and she gave her thoughts. She has a young son. Go back and listen to the show if you need to go back and just hear some things that she might have said that could be some nuggets in helping you to raise your son if you're a single mom. I'm going to play a little bit of Kelly Price, He Proposed. I love this song. I'm not going to play the whole thing in entirety because I do have my caller waiting on the line. I do want you to know to please get my 12 books. You could do that as a birthday gift if you want to support me in that area, or if you want to support Diamonds in the Rough. The children's audition coming up again in Bridgeport is the 7th from 1:30 to 3:30 at the Bridgeport Library. And also on the 28th, the Sono Norwalk Library, and the information will be up on my website, but the one on the 7th, 1:30 to 3:30, the one on the 28th, 11:30 to 1:30. I start packing up a half an hour before the time ends, so please be on time. Call me up. Let me know if your child between the ages of 8 and 21 would like to come out and audition for A Star Is Born 9. Here's Kelly Price. That you got to have to go to iTunes. I had to stop it right there. That's Kelly Price, He Proposed. I do have my caller calling in from down south, and this man means so much to me, because if it had not been for this man, this show might not have and like I said, Elder Richards Jr., he is the one who planted the seed. Push Me, Coco Melvin, God rest her soul, she helped water it and push me, encourage me to do it. And Savon DeGaskew of Channel 5. And I just thank God for people that I've encountered in my life to be able to bring me, help push me to another level to make me better. Never mind nobody else. So how you doing, preacher? You on the line? Hello?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I apologize.
That's okay.
Can you? You know, I was listening, and I caught the latter part with the young lady on there just sitting there, just kind of say, okay. All right, so, Lord, what are we going to bring to the table? You know I always ask those questions. How you been?
Right. I'm doing all right. I'm just glad that no computer glitches and all of that servers working. I just thank God.
All right. Well, bless God. Well, it's a pleasure to finally invade your show after a number of years. I know you've been doing successful. I've seen and I've heard and I've kind of watched you grow, and I'm just God thankful for you and appreciative of what God is doing with you. And, you know, my prayer for you is to see you go to that next level. You're doing wonderful things, but then again, you're one of those that had a great start. You know what I mean? I kind of know a little bit about your background, as you already foretold the audience there. So I'm here at your service today.
All right. And I learned from listening to you and Coco and Savanda, and, you know, and it's just unbelievable that it's 8 years later because you were on my show. Like,
I taught you everything you know. Go ahead, tell them. They did not. I did it. I'm joking. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. But, Preacher,
well,
tell everybody who you are.
I do want to let you know that we are on Facebook Live and we are on Periscope.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, so we're here and we're just, you know, and we've got JJ, we got a bunch of people on. You know, I mean, it's just basically taking a minute to get set up here. So if I stop talking, I'm not in the middle of a sentence, I pray. You know, I just want to, you know, take a minute to just invite everybody. You know, you know how I do.
Anyway. Well, tell us who you are, because I don't have a bio for you. You've done so much. You were the director of WNHU in New Haven. You're a producer. You're running the Pastor's Corner. You've done missions overseas. You MC and you do the Holla Back Awards with Jerry every year. And I don't know, but I think that may be how we connected when Jerry first had given me the Community Service Award years ago. I don't remember, but just tell them a little bit about who you are.
Well, and I carry two different titles. Independently, I'm Elder Ernest E. Richard, Jr. Within the framework of the CME Church, I'm Reverend Ernest E. Richard, Jr. I'm the founder of Power Stand Outreach Ministries International, ordained by God to preach. Been preaching since 1983, but was licensed in 1986. And I've been ordained to teach and preach and reach the masses with the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ with clarity and conviction. I'm a part-time actor, part-time singer, a toastmaster, a talk show host, an MC, gospel program consultant for what is now probably Connecticut's fastest rising college radio station, which is WNHU. I'm the former program director for WNHU's New Gospel Exchange. I'm a sales rep for WBGR. I'm a co-host for My Brother's Keeper. As you already said, I am the host, and I share it with a good apostle friend of mine for the Pastor's Corner, and I'm a column writer for Elation Radio, Sister Kimmy Kim being the CEO of, you know, very community-oriented all around, you know, former lead minister and chaplain for Christ Transport International. It's a ministry that reaches out to truck drivers across the United States, Canada, and Mexico. I'm also, I was a former tractor-trailer driver. I'm was a former chaplain also for the Missouri Gospel Announcers Guild. I believe I'm still a member. I got to go back and check my credentials. It's been a minute since I've been there. God has just shifted where I'm going. You know, Chuck Fairman being the leader of that, along with Terry, 24 Karat Gold. You know, we got a boatload of people that I've had the privilege of working with. gospel music consultant, have had the privilege and pleasure of working behind the scenes with at the Stellar Awards back between 07 and 2010, and kind of had to step away from that because things started taking off. And basically, you know, I think of myself not necessarily a motivational speaker, but I think of myself as an individual that likes to share the good news of the gospel and try to pinpoint areas where people might be struggling. God, I ask God for one thing. My favorite scripture, of course, you can find it in Isaiah 50, verse 4. It simply says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I may be able to speak a word unto the weary in due season." And I asked for that scripture and kind of put that scripture in my steadfastness only because of the fact that, you know, we run across people day in and day out that need encouraging, that need lifting up, that need to hear from God, that need to know that their life matters, that God cares about them. And, you know, I mean, we want to make triple sure that, you know, we have that opportunity and chance to share a word with those individuals, you know. That's pretty much where we are. So that's enough about me because, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're doing this show. And when you told me what it was you were doing, I said, well, you know, you count me in. I'll be there. And let me say this to you. I don't know. I want to say welcome to your Blog Talk Radio family. I want to say also welcome to Facebook Live as well as individuals who are watching on Periscope and whatever other social media is out there. We appreciate this opportunity and chance to be on this wonderful show with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's an honor to have you on, especially since you taught me everything that I need to know.
You need to stop.
You know we got jokes, right?
Hey, this is your show, okay? I'm here on your show today. Go ahead.
So tell me, preacher. I call him preacher because preacher short for preacher 719. Everyone. So, in any case, do black men? Do you believe you are a black man? So can you shed some light on this subject? Do you think they have a problem with being the provider?
No, black men in general should not have a problem with being the provider. After all, our women look to us to lead, to guide, to guard, to govern. We were called to be prophets, kings, and priests. And a lot of black men have to come to the understanding that God has placed us in a very special and unique position. I just came back from a conference not that long ago called Kingdom Man, and we talked about a few things on the Kingdom Man set, you know, and I mean, you know, and it was a great group of guys there that we had the opportunity to share with, and you know, I'm just so I'm so thankful for you know, all that we go through. But in terms of black men being providers, no, I do not have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is when men do not take their rightful place and stand where God has called them to be. Here's our issue right here. A lot of us, of men are dealing with all kinds of multiple issues, but let me help these men out real quick. We're actually in the midst of a war, a battle for the family. And as prophet, priest, and king over your family, there are a lot of men, and please, sis, I'm going to try to talk as frank and as direct as I can, without being vulgar, without being what we would call in the world nasty, or you know, come across in a way that would be derogatory. But you know, we're in a war right now. It's one thing for a man to know where to put his weapon of mass destruction and create children. But it's a whole nother thing when this man learns the responsibility that comes with producing children or child production. And in terms of providing for his wife and for his kids, I mean, and every situation is different. So I do not want to put all men in one category because that would just not be true. You know, I mean, We have to understand that, number one, we're in a war, okay? We're in a battle. You know, the stakes are high in this war, and the casualties are high. You know, in the midst of this, if we lose this war, man, lives can get lost. Eternities will be shaped, and destinies will either be discovered or dismissed. Dreams will either be attained, ascertained, or relinquished. And if you listen closely out there, in terms of that man being that prophet, priest, and king, and the provider for his family, you might be able to hear that cry for a man of God to stand up and to be who God called him to be. I believe it's Ezekiel chapter 22, the verse 30, and God talked about the state of the nation of Israel, and he made mention of the fact, he said in verse 30, and I don't have my Bible in front of me, actually it's over here to my right, but I'm going to say all from what I remember. It says, so I sought for a man to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, but I found none. And here's my question. Is God able to depend on you, sir, to be the man, the kingdom man, the kingdom man that he's called you to be? I've been fighting off hiccups for a few hours here, and I don't know where it came from, but let me try to pull myself together here. Anyway, can God call on you and depend on you to be able to stand up and to be whom he called you to be? Is God able to depend on you to take your family to the place that you're supposed to be? Or are you one of those that's going to allow the enemy to walk in and to shred your family and to rip things apart and to put your family in disarray? If you listen closely, there's a cry for a kingdom man to rule. You can hear it in the chaos of our culture. If you turn around and look, there's a cry that's going there. Coming from our churches, it's coming from our homes, it's coming from our schools, it's coming from our neighborhoods, it's coming from our communities, it's coming across the state, around the country, and around the world. It's coming from the shattered soul that was affected by the absence of a father figure. And never in our lifetime have we ever been in a place where, you know, we stood on the precipice of such adversity and in such dire straits as we are now, with men answering the cry to rule well. We can hear it everywhere, Sister Sherry. It's loud, and you can hear it from the broken heart of every child that was raised in a fatherless home, for every child that was abandoned by their father, for every young girl who looked to be a daddy's girl was not given that privilege or given that pleasure. You can hear it in the drowned dreams of any woman who came and ended up with some irresponsible knucklehead that neglected her and walked out on the first piece of property or the first piece of, you know what I'm trying to say, that he could find. I have to remind some of these brothers, our women are not cars. You can't trade them in when you feel like it. You know, when you get in and you say, I do, it's for the long haul. When the preacher stands there and you go through those vows, you say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor. This is now a team effort, but you happen to be the captain of that team. So it's your responsibility to step up to the plate and to do what God called you to do, to be whom God called you to be, so that God can take you and your family to the place that he wants to do. But most importantly, and in being the provider, you have to understand provision doesn't necessarily, it does mean go to work and get an income and provide for your family, keep a roof over their head and keep food on the table. But provision even speaks to the power of servitude. It's about serving the living God the way you're supposed to. The Bible crystal clearly tells us, men, to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How did Jesus
read that
love
first,
the church? I didn't even know you read it. But see, and you got me going off the deep end. I'm trying my best not to go too far too fast, because I know we got few minutes and you got a few questions. But really, you know, we have to understand that, you know, those women whose dreams get snuffed out because of confusing circumstances, and those lonely souls of those single women who want a kingdom man, who want a man of God, who wants a mighty man of valor, who wants a Boaz-like figure, but they're, you know, some of them are settling for whatever they can get their hands on. They're, you know, and all they want is just somebody that's going to build something with them. Understand, men are visionaries. We have vision, and we like to create things. Women like to enhance the things we create, and men don't understand it. I'm not saying every man don't. Some men just do not get it. there's a cry for us to step forth and to take control, you know? And, I mean, my question to us is, when are we going to allow God to do what he wants to do in our individual lives? When? What are we going to do?
And I totally, oh, my God, you was the right one. I was looking for the diamond in the rough, and the diamond in the rough was you, preacher, because I've been looking for somebody for this show for almost 3 weeks, and everybody had some answer to give, whether good or bad. And God knew who needed to be on here because you just said everything that needed to be said, everything that should be touched on. And I recall when me and Connie asked him to speak, and Lyle Hassan, all of us was up in Bridgeport, and she said, Sheree, just speak. And I said, the only thing I had to ask was, where are you? And I ended up writing a book, Where My Daddy At? And because you are so right, the children in the school system are crying out. We are crying out. The majority of us in the African-American community, I'm not saying all of us, but statistic-wise, are single. And there's a surrogate father or a surrogate male role model in the house, whether it is good or bad. And so everything you said was like so like on point. I there's nothing else I can say.
Well, there's a whole lot you could say. I mentioned Ezekiel 22:29-30. God is looking for kingdom men. Now, I didn't get into the state or status of today's men. Let me give you a quick breakdown here. You know, there's an absentee father crisis here in America, and according to the U.S. Census Bureau, I believe of 2013, there's an estimated 24.7 million children living in the United States alone, and that means one out of every three children are living without a biological or a father figure. Now, the breakdown goes like this. 44% of them are Black or children of that particular color. 27% are Hispanic, 19% are Caucasian or biracial, and the other 10% are Asian or of Asian descent. Now, that hurts us. And when we look at the faith of the absentee father, you have to look in jail cells where we make up better than 37% of the population's in jail. When you look on TV now, whether it's CNN, whether it's ABC or whatever the case may be, I just recently heard that out in California there was a young Black man in his backyard on the cell phone, and the SWAT team came in and was whatever the reason, asked him to lay down, to get on the ground. The man puts his hands in the air with cell phone in his hand, and he ends up getting shot 20 times. 20 times. For what? I mean, there is an all-out assault on our Black men today. When you look at the face of the absentee father, they're either in jail, they're either in their grave or on their way to their death. You know,
yes,
yeah,
that's exactly what I was saying.
We got some who are in and out of the legal system here, and they need to understand kids need fathers. They are not looking for probation officers. Our young men are running down a path. The TV has become their babysitter, and they're watching all these animated things on television and on cartoons, and the next thing you know, they're trying to imitate these things. You got mothers who are left to raise children by themselves because the father figure has either been sent to jail for life or is laying down in a grave somewhere. As I said earlier, you got daughters who are looking to be those daddy's girls and want that quality time with their father. They're not given the opportunity to have that quality time because either society or the father himself has taken themselves out of the picture.
Yes, absolutely. We got like 90 seconds left. So I think that everything you said just hit it on the nail, and I'm so glad that you shared that information. This is what I was saying, that the research that I did in my thesis, Can a Sister Get Some Love, and was touching on the very thing that you just had mentioned. And so we know this. And we only can start with our own homes and with our own self and communities. Nobody's going to hand it over to us. And so at the end of the day, So I thank you so much for coming on, Preacher, and I wish you was up in this area so you could host my talent show again, but you all the way in
Maryland.
Well,
listen, when is your talent show? Because I'll be coming to Connecticut very soon for three reasons. One of them, my younger brother and minister, Pastor Walter Teague from Basilea International Ministries, I'm going to help launch his men's conference. The date's yet to be set. We can stay in touch with that. I'm also coming up there for our class reunion in the month of June, the weekend of the 16th. Some friends, you know, this is our 40th year reunion. Boy, that's interesting.
Wow.
Anyway, but yeah. I'll be in Connecticut a few times. All I need to know from you is what's your date, if it fits where I'm coming, and if it's a situation that I can work with, because God really does have some doors open. I'm not going to sit here and talk about we'll be leaving the country on a couple of occasions. I'm supposed to go to the Dominican Republic. I'm also going to Haiti, and I was invited to go to Nigeria. All three of those are happening this year.
Go ahead.
There's a church being dedicated in Nigeria, and I'm, by the grace of God, I'm going to have the opportunity and privilege to be a guest speaker on that first week of that dedication. I think the dedication is like a week long or something like that. I'm guessing. Now, I don't know all the details.
Okay.
So I'm going to just stop right there because I don't want to say more than I actually know about. But let me say this, and I'm going to shut up so you can close your show, because I know it's pretty close to your
shutdown
time.
Yeah, because we're not even streaming no more. It's just recording.
All right, but that's all right. You can go back and redo the recording. To any young man, any young lady, any man in particular that's listening on Facebook Live or on Periscope, let me say this. Greatness basically is when you achieve the reason for which you were created and maximize its influence in the lives of others. Greatness has nothing to do with you, and I'm going to use the sports analogy to get this across. You know, on a football field, you always have three teams. You have the home team, you have the visiting team, and then you have the team of officials. Your greatness can be accomplished on a football field, baseball field, basketball court, whatever the case may be. But the greatest form of greatness you can have is to have the investment factor, where you have the ability to pour into the lives of somebody else, some other young man, some other young lady, that they become even greater than you. Quick story, and I'm going to shut up from here, sis.
Thank
when
you.
I used to be,
oh,
I was a truck
so
driver. I was a truck driver up in Connecticut at a particular distribution center, and I was asked to start training drivers. And the wild thing about that was I gave them the best that I knew in terms of training. I tried to give them everything that I learned from this particular company. Now, what I learned in this particular company, I shared with them, and then some basic principles of life in terms of customer service I instilled in these individuals. These individuals went on to win awards, become driver of the year. They became greater than me. Now, I could have been jealous, you know, and I could have acted a certain kind of way, but it only testified to the fact that I poured into them and got a receipt or got a return from these individuals in the accomplishments that they went on to do. All I'm simply saying to you, young man, to you, sir, is to pour in. If you have children, pour into your children. Invest into your children. Your wife, your girlfriend, your baby mama, whatever the case may be, is looking for you to be there. Those kids did not ask to come into this world. You just decided to get with baby mama or with the missus or the girlfriend, and you know what you did. You know, you took the weapon of mass destruction and you
I got to stop you right there, Preacher. You can keep going on, but my show has ended. So I got to let you go, and I know what you're saying is good. But thank you so much. I appreciate it. I love you. And I thank you for pouring into this sister right here.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, give me a call anytime. I should be, if I'm available and I could be a blessing to you, I will do exactly that.
Thank you
All
so
right?
much. Have a good night.
God bless you. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.